she like was really in love with her boyfriend, and he was, they said it was a thrice wise, but they never explain what it is. And he like curses her because she sleeps with his roommate because she freaks out somehow. And everyone's like, you know, that was not a good thing to do, but this is probably worse. So first she turns into a giant, and then she turns into a centaur, and then she turns into like a puppet.
There's never been a good comic with a centaur in it. I'm willing to lay money on
It was quite
that
funny that
fact.
when she was a centaur. I would say it went off the rails when she became a puppet, but
Oh, like the. Didn't they do an episode where they were all puppets?
I think she was more like a doll puppet, like a marionette,
Oh, okay.
not like a Muppet puppet.
Okay. Cool. So, Green Hornet.
Green Hornet.
Directed by Michel Gondry, written by Seth Rogen and some other guy whose name I already forgot. Evan Goldberg.
And Goldberg. Is that the guy who is plays the dorky guy in Get Him to the Greek? Click on his name. Click on his
Let's see.
name.
I think he's just Rogan's writing partner.
Yeah, that's definitely not the guy in Get Him to the Greek.
Whoa, he's writing The Goon? That's kind of cool. Yeah, this guy's just a writer and a
Just a
producer.
writer. For shame.
Yeah, it stars Seth Rogen as Green Hornet, Jay Chou as Kato, and I think he's like a huge name in Asia. Like he's a big deal heartthrob actor. One of the most
He could work
popular
a
pop singers
turtleneck.
in Taiwan.
I will say that. He really worked the red turtleneck, which not many people could.
I don't think anyone can. He barely got by.
I think there was a zipper in the back. What was up with that? I don't know. Anyway.
But yeah, geez, actually this Cameron Diaz and her first non-annoying role in like 18 years. Christoph Waltz following up
Look,
Inglourious
she starred in
Basterds.
Charlie's Angels, okay? A girl's gotta eat. Except an actress has got to not eat, so an actress has probably got to get a lot of things to distract her from the fact that she's not eating.
Yeah, hungry all the time.
Anyway, so about the actual movie, it was kind of like Apatow does superheroes.
Yeah, I think I told you I had medium to low expectations going in. And they were actually met and exceeded because I kind of really liked it.
Really?
Yeah, well, not really. I liked it. I wouldn't say I really liked it. I liked it probably about as much as I like X-Men 1 right now.
Ooh.
Well, I liked X-Men 1 a lot when it came out, so it's.
I like X-Men 1.
Yeah.
I think I may have X-Men 1.
But it
But
was.
everything's on Netflix nowadays, so, you
Yeah,
know.
that has stopped my DVD buying.
Anyway, go on.
But it was. I liked it how funny it was, because nobody cares about the Green Hornet.
No.
Like, you might find three fans online who swear that they care, and like they're mad about the continuity changes or whatever, but nobody cares.
Yeah, and there's no way, I mean, there's no way to play it straight.
Yeah. He's
The sidekick
knockoff
named
Batman.
Kato,
Or he's not even knockoff Batman, he's knockoff the Shadow.
the
I mean,
I
he.
think the Shadow actually might be knockoff Green Hornet. But the Shadow is a name that holds up.
Yeah, people at
Green
least saw the
Hornet?
movie.
Really? Just a random, why the color?
Actually, that's a really good idea. No, they joke about that in the movie when they say, like, oh, hornets aren't green at the very end.
Yeah, but that's the, like I said, you can't play it straight. It has to be kind of like a green hornet, and
Yeah.
everyone's just like, why would you, what?
Oh, Green Hornet was references the Shadow, so I guess that
Oh,
came first.
okay. Because I thought the shadow was just like a voice that introduced, like, there were many radio plays
That's how it started.
about, crime, and the shadow was just like, I know what lurks in, evil lurks in the hearts of men. Look at this story, and then look at this story. It was like the voice in the Twilight Zone.
But over time, it evolved to being a story in and of itself.
Ah.
So kind of like the Crypt Keeper used to just introduce like the Tales from the Crypt comics and then was like an actual figure on the TV show every once in a while.
But he was just introducing stuff on the TV show.
I think he actually appeared in some episodes or something, or there was a movie where like he mattered.
All right.
But yeah.
Green Hornet. And the car is called the Black Beauty.
Yeah. I didn't realize that Kato never actually had a nickname. He was just the faithful valet. And he's been apparently Filipino, Japanese, Chinese, and Korean.
Yeah, I think they made him Filipino during World War II because nobody liked the Japanese then.
But the movie was surprisingly old school. Like, the newspapers...
Really?
Well, to an extent. It was... So, the Daily Sentinel, the newspaper that the Green Hornet owns, like, figures pretty heavily into the movie. And...
Yeah, but there are still newspapers.
There are still newspapers, but most things you'll see now will replace, like, you know, hey, write up an editorial for tomorrow's first edition with, like, write a blog post and then Twitter it, you know. Like, they go too far in trying to make it very modern.
Mm-hmm.
But this was just like a straight up newsroom, like out of real life. And I thought that was kind of neat. But it still acknowledged the internet at the same time. Like their big plan at the end was to post audio online, which, you know, which is very modern, but he was doing it from the office of like a very traditional old school newspaper.
And you know, it would have worked better if he'd overlapped the audio like over a video of a bunch of puppies.
Yeah. It would have gone
that
viral
would have been
on YouTube.
Gold.
But also old school in that, like, people die constantly.
Yeah. Like, it kind of bothered me how aggressively stupid and, assy the Green Hornet was. Like,
yeah.
Seth Rogen's character. And I have to give him credit for deliberately being that way. Like,
yeah,
that's stupid. And... Yeah,
yeah.
Kind of owning up to it at the end. But at the same time, that was a little too much, I felt, in some sections. And, for example, they start this thing where they're just like, we're going to have a crazy night out, and they vandalize something. And, like, in the middle of their vandalization, Reed.
Yes.
Sees like this couple getting beat up by random gang members for no reason, as you know they are often.
Young toughs jumping out of bushes.
Yes.
That's what it's like in LA these days. So watch out.
What I like is that they actually seem to plan stalking this young couple.
Yeah, they all faded out of the shadows like Batman,
yes.
Which was amazing.
Like, one came from behind, and one came from the left, and one came from the right. So were they stalking them, or were they just like, we're going to be here, and whenever we see a laughing, happy couple going through, we're going to just jump them?
They got the timing wrong on the first two or three, and the couples got away, so...
And... through, like, a series of wacky coincidences, they foil the crime. But then they get in a chase with the cops.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like, they only get the police officer's attention because they saw a police car and pulled, like, a U-turn through an intersection.
Yeah.
Like, screeching tires. And then the police are like, oh, crap, I better pull them over. And at this point, they haven't done anything except stop someone from getting beaten up. So they'd be like, sorry, officer, we were really freaked out. This couple was getting beaten up.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh, good work, citizens, or something. Instead, they get in a chase with the cop and, like, flip the cop's car over.
Into the recruitment's office.
And the last thing you see is the car on fire. And my feeling of it is they just killed a police officer.
It definitely looked like that because you could tell the audio over that where the cop's like, "Oh, why did I do blah, blah, blah," was added in post-production. Like, it was like in the Batman movies where he just blows up warehouses full of dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt like that. But,
yeah.
Similarly, the bit when they crash into the meth lab and then set it on fire.
Yeah.
Like, those explode.
And even if they didn't, you'd still be burning people alive.
Yeah.
That's really horrible.
But I guess they make up for all of the, like, the way they treat the violence is very cartoony.
Yeah.
And I guess that makes it seem not quite as bad when, like, a bulldozer falls on somebody and kills them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you... I hate to use the phrase comic booky to describe something like that. But, I mean, it's, like, straight out of a comic book.
No. In a comic book...
Well, in a comic, they would never,
ever... It's straight
ever
out of The Boys, because the superheroes are killing police officers.
Or early Batman.
What?
Or early Batman, when he would just machine gun rooms full of, you know, Japanese agitators. But I mean, it's like a comic book in that, like, repercussions just don't exist.
Yeah. Well, except they kind of do, because the whole point of the movie is, like, they don't know what they're doing. Oh no, things went badly for them. Who would have guessed?
But in terms
except
of...
at the same time, repercussions don't exist.
Yeah.
They don't go to that cop's funeral.
Yeah. Like, they never really have to own up to the fact
that... killed that guy!
Kato shot one guy in the head.
Yeah, but that was a guy who was trying to kill them and also deal drugs. They killed a police officer. And there are a lot of scenes where, like, police officers' cars go flying through the air.
Oh, there's one where it hits a tree and, like, bends around it.
Yes! You're like, someone's dead there!
But it's you have to take it on... in the context of the movie, which is that, like, nope, they're just okay. Don't be Seth Rogen.
So I guess it would be like the early Hulk comics where he's, like, smashing army tanks with, like, entire buildings.
Yeah.
But no one got hurt.
Which I still think is absolutely ridiculous. But yes, exactly like that.
Or like that one Justice League episode, I think, that we saw.
Superman versus Captain Marvel.
Where, like, the Justice League satellite... like, goes off and shoots a laser at the Earth.
Oh, yeah.
And you see destruction of property, but very pointedly, there are no people. Like, in an entire city block, when it folds in half, there are no people there.
Yeah, there's a bit like that in All-Star Batman, where Batman blows up all these crazy cop cars while Robin's in the car. And you see all the cops jumping out as the cars are exploding and into the water. And it's like, because otherwise, like, they're murderers, you know?
Yes.
You can't do that with Batman. But with the Green Hornet, you got a lot more freedom.
Because nobody knows what he's doing?
Because no one cares. But it's...
they're just going to see the Apatow superhero movie.
Yeah. They want something funny and violent. And, like, it actually...
I think I understand. It's not Apatow, but it looks like it.
Seth Rogen, same guy. Same character every movie. Actually, he is pretty much the dude from Pineapple Express as a superhero. But, yes, I liked the way they treated the Britt Reed and Kato relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because even as a kid, I knew there was no way the Green Hornet was cooler than Kato. Because, like, for one thing, Bruce Lee. End of argument. You know?
Yeah.
In this one, they actually treated that instead of being, like, you know, youthful fantasy. And...
even Batman likes Bruce Lee.
Yeah. This one, they treated it as fact because, like, Seth Rogen sucks. He gets one really cool scene towards the end, and he screws that up, you know? But meanwhile, Kato is completely awesome in everything he does, pretty much, except for dating. But they both suck at that, so that's okay.
That's what makes it a bromance.
Yeah.
If women actually liked them, then they'd have to deal with romance, and they couldn't be all about each other.
Yeah, and... the sheer number of jokes about that, I think, proves that to be true. But, like, I thought Kato was, like, good casting and good writing for the character. Even though it hit the cliche, like, oh, we're not friends anymore, blah, 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 that, you know, all these movies have to have.
Yeah. I kind of didn't like how the fight scene ended up.
Which one?
The one where... hell, we're spoiling it anyway.
Yeah. It's been out for like a month.
It'll be out for a month and a half by the time this comes out. Okay. where they have like the kind of comedy fight, and that's pretty well done. But then suddenly Kato gets, they like fall in a pool, Kato's like, I can't swim, I can't swim. And yeah, that's kind of cheating. Yeah. I mean, because Kato would have destroyed him.
Yeah, Kato
destroyed him.
He'd already basically beaten the bone marrow out of him.
Yes.
Kato did so many kicking people through windows and walls in this movie.
Yes.
And I don't know.
Like, in kind of an obviously fake way.
Yeah.
Because they don't crumple and fall down. They crumple and fall outward through a window.
Yeah. Even from the beginning, in the when they're fighting, you know, the gang of couple harassers.
Yes.
Like, the punch through the window is so straight and, like, you know, it's a movie punch.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would be crap in real life, but, like...
Seriously, what was that gang thinking? I just want to kick someone in the stomach.
Yeah.
Let's wait here until someone comes along. Preferably someone really happy.
Man.
What were the couple thinking? We're going to walk by a graveyard? They were vandalizing a graveyard.
Don't kids still go out to make out in a graveyard?
Ew. I hope they never did.
Anyway. But it's...
Did you?
No, that's disgusting.
Yes.
Where was, like... Oh, so... Okay. Completely derailed my train of thought there. But, I mean, he's very much portrayed as, like, the competent one of the team. And he does everything.
Yes.
And Seth Rogen knocks himself out every once in a while.
Seth Rogen's pretty much his only strength is to be idiotic enough to think he could do it. Like, to think that anyone could do it in the first place, which is what kickstarts the adventure.
Because it's not, let's go out and be superheroes. It's, let's go out and cut the head off a statue.
Yeah.
And then, like, they luck into... Well,
in what is clearly a Simpsons thing, now that I think about it.
And every time the... So, Rogan only really gets good hits in after Kato's beating everyone up.
Yes.
And sometimes that involves him accidentally hitting Kato, which I thought was pretty funny. So many, like, kicks to the crotch in this movie.
Yes, I was thinking that too. It's really many more, like, nut shots than you would think any superhero movie would have.
Also, more callbacks to the nut shots, too.
Yeah.
Because there's the bit when Rogan, I'm just going to call him Seth Rogan, because I'm never going to remember Britt Reed. But he's talking about how, like, you know, he's fought, and like, he's like, yeah, I kicked that guy. You see Kato kind of step back and lower his hand over his crotch. He's like, yeah, I remember. Like, that stuff. What'd you think of like the gadgets and stuff, like all the missiles and Gatling guns in the car, which were apparently not accurate at all because they didn't hit anybody with them?
Yeah, I think they could have done better with less Gatling guns.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because it went a little over the top in the sense that, like, people are standing in an elevator with glass doors. And the car with six guns.
Yeah.
Like, doing that, you know, that really rapid fire bullets shoots into the elevator with glass doors, like, directly into it. And the glass doors explode, and the bad guys do that thing where you're kind of trying to shield your glasses from raindrops. Like, they kind of put, or like when you're at a movie and you have to, like, make your way out of the row.
Yeah.
Because you have to go to the bathroom. So you kind of, like, put up your hands to be like, yeah, I'm trying to shield my face as much. I'm sorry. I'm doing that. Like, they do that gesture and, like, kind of jog to the outside of the elevator. And they're not hit at all.
Yeah.
That's too much. Like, at first, they did this thing where, remember, the first gang of people they attacked, they used beanbag guns. And you saw them all get hit with beanbags, like, 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Which must have sucked for those actors.
I can't believe they actually were still fighting after that.
Yeah. But, and then they do the same thing, only instead of beanbags, it's bullets, and they just, like, run out of the way.
Well, they're just paper bullets.
I was quite impressed with Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
The role that she got in the movie, which is very much a Gal Friday, you know, we should probably have some woman in this movie role.
Yeah.
But was still fairly competent and...
exasperated all the time.
Yes.
Which is, like, one of my favorite emotions for someone in a superhero comic to have.
Yeah. Where someone just walks in with a mask and the other person's like, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and she
really?
Pepper sprayed both of the guys, which I thought was funny. Because, like, she sprays them first and it was like, oh, wait, it's you guys? And then she does it again.
But she served an actual function.
Yeah.
In the plot.
And if they do a sequel, which I actually almost kind of hope they do, like, I hope they expand on her mastermind role. Because they basically trick her into being a mastermind.
Yes. Where she's like, you know, I'm sure that this is what the Green Hornet does next. And they're like, that's right! That's
Tell
what
us
we
more.
Should do next! Because Kato's like the super awesome fighter guy slash engineer guy, but...
there's no brains of the group.
Yeah.
And I mean, and if Seth Rogen's the brains, you're basically screwed.
Like, one of the good, the really funny scenes is where they go out in the Black Beauty for the first time and, like, it's all armed and they put in Gangster's Paradise.
Yeah.
Which I think Rogan is actually too young to remember.
I remember that song. He's older than I am.
I don't know. I think she's like 24 or 22 or something.
Born anyway. In 1982. Wow, he's Canadian?
Oh, 1982. That surprises me.
What's up with that?
Anyway.
Well, see, the best part of that scene,
but,
though...
Yeah, but at the end, and they, like, sing along, and they're, like, so awesome.
Like, they have roles.
And I was actually thinking the guy, Jay Chu?
Cho.
Was actually a pretty decent actor, and now you're like, he's a pop star. Like, or not a singer.
Yeah. He cheated, is what it comes down to.
But, and then after the song ends, they're like, what do we do? Yeah. I'm not exactly sure what we're supposed to be doing right now. I never thought past just going out in this car and looking cool.
Yeah. I imagine that's what it's like being a real-life superhero. Like all those guys that dress up in costumes and go out to patrol.
Yeah. I'm going to sit on a gargoyle for a while.
Yeah. Turn my iPod up a little, cry in the rain, you know. But it was good at, like, kind of deflating probably every single superhero trope there is. From the secret identity to, like, the Lois Lane, like, I hate Clark Kent, but I love Superman, that sort of thing. Because, like, she doesn't like either of them. But, yeah,
The thing is, they didn't even go with loving or hating or liking. Like, it never occurs to her that these guys might be romantic partners for her.
And what's weird is that it almost seemed like it at one point.
She's kind of shocked when, like, she gets that he's hitting on her, which she tolerates because he's her boss. But for both of them, they're, like, trying to have this romantic moment. And she's like, and she's genuinely shocked. She's just, what are you doing?
Yeah. I thought that was... I was actually kind of hoping that's how it would end up. Because otherwise you have, like, the one guy loves her and the other guy loves her, but she only loves one of the others, so they break up over that, which they kind of sort of ended up doing.
Yeah. She didn't care for either of them.
Yeah. Which I thought was a nice inversion of how that usually goes. But yeah, Cameron Diaz was surprisingly good in what would turn out to be a surprisingly good movie to me. Who else? Oh, so Christoph Waltz as Chudnovsky. Introduced to him in Inglourious Basterds, and I thought he was great there. And he was...
Oh, he wasn't that.
Yeah, he was the Jew Hunter, was his name. I forget his actual name. But, I like that guy. Like, he was so middle-aged over the hill. Like, he played it perfectly. And still a little bit dangerous, but, like, just on the goofy side for the audience, but, like, probably scary in real life for, you know, the people in the movie.
Yeah.
And his entire... So he takes a new identity during the movie as Bludnovsky, in that entire like conversation where he reveals that to his running mate or his
second in command.
Second in command, yeah. Was pretty much every conversation you've ever had with anyone about 90s comics. It's like, no, dude, it's Blood Wolf. It's cool. It's you spell blood B-L-U-D, and it's really cool. And you're like, no,
and you say spell wolf W-U-L-P-H.
Yeah. And the guy's like, honestly, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And just the way he kept saying Bludnovsky, like, I don't know, I was laughing. I thought it was great.
See, I think, seriously, the best part was the James Franco cameo.
Where was his cameo?
He was the guy at the very beginning where Chudnovsky walks into the thing and
says... That was James Franco?
That was James Franco.
Even better.
I am almost entirely... I'm pretty sure he's not credited in the thing because I think they wanted it to be a surprise.
We'll find out. But Eddie Furlong was in it.
He just Google James Franco Green Hornet.
Oh, no, yeah. He was crystal clear. Wow.
Yeah. Where he's like this young, hip meth dealer.
Yeah.
Where he's like, has this annoying New York accent, incredibly fake New York accent.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I've got a Gucci suit and I've got a completely clear piano.
Yeah, it's got glass everywhere. Look how cool this place is.
I've got a name that's easy to pronounce, not Chudnovsky.
And he's like, I sell crystal meth. My name is Clear. They call me Crystal Clear. It makes sense. Man, that was great.
Yeah.
Somehow, like, ever since Pineapple Express, like, I've loved James Franco. He did a Spider-Man video. Or not, well, kind of a Spider-Man video. It was like a Happy Birthday Sam Raimi video with Bill Hader, where it's Hader playing the role of Norman Osborn as the Green Goblin in James Franco's real-life dressing room. And he shows up, he's like, I'm Bill Hader. We couldn't get, what's his name?
Willem Dafoe?
Willem Dafoe. He's like, I'm the Green Goblin this time. And James is like, oh, okay. You know? And it's this long, like, mirror conversation, like, from the movies. And it's just hilarious. Like, suddenly he got funny. After being awful in Spider-Man 3.
Well, you know the whole story with him.
Mm-mm.
Like, I think sometime after Spider-Man 3, he was like, this sucks. I don't like being the tortured, good-looking hero,
yeah,
or anti-hero. And he went to, like, art, film, and poetry school.
Wow.
Simultaneously. And then he just, while doing, like, small acting roles, and then he decided to just be on General Hospital as a gay serial killer.
Really?
Yes. Where he's just like, I'm just going to be a bit part on General Hospital for a week.
Wow.
And then, yeah, he did a lot of, like, weird stunt casting roles. Where he's like, I really don't like being the tortured leading man.
Yeah.
Let's do something
else. Pineapple Express was the exact opposite of...
Yeah.
And that was amazing. Like, that was another movie where I thought, like, oh, it's Apatow or Rogan or both, so, like, who cares? But I watched it, like, a year and a half after it came out, and I was stunned that it was that funny. And Franco completely stole the movie for me, so.
Yeah, that, yep, that was him.
But yeah, so Eddie Furlong was in it, and we saw it with Jeff Lester and his wife, and we had no idea that was Edward Furlong playing the meth dealer in the beginning. The one whose house blows up?
She was actually the one who spotted it.
Oh, really?
Spotted. That's the Furlong spotter.
But he is, I don't know where that guy has been. Possibly also poetry school. But one of the guys in Chudnovsky's gang was Cuddy from The Wire, which I thought was cool to see him on TV again.
See, there are a whole bunch of little pieces that are really funny, like comedy improv stuff, but then, like, putting it all together,
mm-hmm,
I don't like it as much as I like talking about all the funny little pieces that are part of it.
I can see that. It's one of those things...
And I think Rogan should have maybe cut all of his own lines. Except the ones where he comes off as, like, egregiously stupid, because that's what he needs to be.
That's all of his lines. He's not, even like when he finally gets his bit where he's like, ha ha ha, I'm the smart one. Like, he's an idiot. He screws that up. I thought that Rogan and Cho worked out very well together.
He needs to be the crypt keeper.
Seth Rogan does?
Yes. He needs to be, like, his line should be limited to a stupid line mm-hmm. that gets you to the next thing, cool thing that somebody else does. They just need to take the Green Hornet out of the Green Hornet.
I would have watched just Kato. Like, no joke.
Did he do his own stunts? Like, is he... Rogan? Because...
Probably not.
Oh, not Rogan.
Oh, Cho?
Cho. Because he... Like, at some point, I'm like, is he doing it? But then they always do the wide angle with his hair in the face when...
I imagine that like a stuntman did most of the complicated stuff, but let's see. Oh, so something else, pretty much the only reason why I went to see this was I like Michel Gondry, like his uh-huh. directing. And
what else did he do?
He did...
I'm not familiar with the name.
Be Kind, Rewind. He's done a lot of stuff, and it's always kind of like weird a little bit.
Oh yeah, I saw that one.
Like, as bad as weird is to describe something... wow, he's done a lot since Be Kind, Rewind.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah. Hmm. He's done music videos. He's done quite a bit. And he's always, like, visually his stuff always looks good. And I thought this film was no different, if only because there were some parts that were, like, really, really Gondry'd out. Yeah. Like, the bit when Chudnovsky is like, you know, kill the Green Hornet, almost a Green Lantern. And you see a conversation in the screen splits as when the two people leave, yeah. and then it keeps splitting until it's funny, like, 8 or 10 different views all at once.
Yeah.
Impossible to watch, but it looks great.
Yes. You know?
I guess, Kato's enhanced vision is like a Gondry thing.
Yeah, that kind of bugged me.
How come?
Because it was basically saying, magic. And why did all the cars multiply?
To show how fast he was moving.
But that doesn't make any sense.
It looked good.
No, it didn't. I was just like, why are the cars multiplying?
I think it's to show, like, when you see a Flash comic and there are after images, it's another way to do the after image. I can't find anything on the stunt work.
Oh, well.
But yeah, I thought there were a lot of, like, little bits that he did that I thought was great. Like, when Seth Rogen and the girl in the beginning were making out in all of his father's cars, and it was, like, this really fast-paced, almost yakety-sax
motion. Yes, that would have worked over it.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be up on YouTube when that thing gets on DVD.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like, there's that...
Are you sure it's Rogen? It's not Rogen?
I hope it's Rogan. Otherwise, they'll be...
Well, oh, another... I think it's probably Rogan, because a friend of mine said Rogan instead of Rogan, but I just... I don't know. I read it as that, so... Go on.
Yeah, so this was a good Seth Rogan movie. That makes 2 for me.
So Pineapple Express and this. Which was kind of Pineapple Express times 2.
Yeah.
Because they did end up kind of being heroes and superheroes in Pineapple Express.
Oh, also Funny People, which I thought was really good, but only a little bit funny. Hmm. It was basically Adam Sandler beating up on Seth Rogen for like 2 hours. But yeah, so those three I thought were pretty slick. Hmm. Wow, he's been in a lot of stuff I didn't like. 40-year-old virgin, come on.
Really? I kind of like that one.
Dawson's Creek? Wow. Oh, so he was on Freaks and Geeks, too. I guess that's where he met James Franco.
They're like, let's be friends.
Yeah. Be in my movies and make them funny, because I can't do it. That was mean.
You are! After you've talked about how you liked those two movies.
Wow, Jay Cho was in the Initial D movie, too? Oh, he's only been in 8 movies. Weird. But yeah, so anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Yeah.
So we saw The Green Hornet. And a month and a half after it came out, we're talking about it.
Always timely. A major metropolitan newspaper.
Still rocking, no stopping, 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 no stop